Roots and Wax program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's self-polishing glow coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by Billy Mills Orchestra and the King's Men. The show opens with Be Young Again. This time of year, we always receive a number of letters from customers and friends who find out it's a good thing to put wax on their shoes and boots. Why don't you tell everybody, they write, that Johnson's Wax helps to make shoes water and weatherproof, keeps them soft and pliable, and protects the leather. Well, I certainly haven't any objection to passing that good word along, because I use wax on my own shoes and on my riding boots and saddles and leather gloves, too, and my luggage. The fact is, I've always been a great booster for using Johnson's Wax on things made of leather. So, if any of you think wax is only meant for your floors, furniture, and woodwork, you only know half the wax story. There are 100 extra ways to use Johnson's Wax around your home for the conservation and protection of your things, to make them last longer, look better, and clean more easily. If you were secretary of the Wistful Vista Chamber of Commerce and wanted to appoint somebody to go to the hospital and visit one of the members who was ill, you'd want somebody who was quiet and modest and soothing and thoughtful and tactful and soft-spoken, wouldn't you? Somebody like Fibber McGee of Fibber McGee and Molly.
So when I volunteered to go visit this sick member, there was a dead silence. They were all probably dumbfounded to see a man of my importance taking time for such a kindly act.
Yeah, that must have been it.
Betcha.
Who are you going to the hospital to cheer up, in spite of everybody?
Well, oh, my gosh, imagine that. The secretary forgot to tell me. Well, anyway, I got to go down there and cheer him up. Take him some candy and cigarettes and tell him a few funny gags.
Well, what's the matter with this unknown patient, up till now?
I don't know.
Well, you better find out.
Huh?
You know, if he's got appendicitis, you can't take him candy.
Oh?
And if he's had his tonsils out, he can't smoke. And if his jaw's dislocated, he can't laugh at those funny gags. You see?
Oh, gee, I never thought of that. I better call the secretary right now. Hand me the phone.
Here.
Thanks. Hello, operator. Give me the Wistful Vista Chamber of Commerce on the second floor of Mert. Is that you?
Oh.
How's every little thing, Mert? It is, huh? What's that, Mert? You haven't?
She hasn't what?
Hasn't heard a word from any of her relatives.
Well, thank goodness.
What's that, Mert? Oh, except her cousin, she said.
No.
What about your cousin, Mert? He bought what? 1,500 pounds of horse meat.
Heavenly days to eat.
No, he's going to ride it to work and save his tire. What's that, Mert? Oh, you got the Chamber of Commerce. Oh, hello, is this Mr. Powers? This is Fibber McGee speaking, Dick. Yeah. Say, who am I supposed to visit in the hospital and what's the matter with him? Who? Oh, my gosh, I'll get right down there right away, Mr. Powers. Okay, goodbye.
Who is it, dearie?
Billy Mills.
No, what's wrong with him?
I don't know. They said it was nothing serious. I saw him just yesterday, and he looked as good as I do.
As bad as that? I wonder if I hadn't better make him a bowl of soup or something.
No, I might hurt the hospital's feeling. Hey, let's take in that fruitcake Aunt Sarah sent us for Christmas.
Fruitcake for a sick man?
Yeah, well, he's already sick, ain't he? Personally, I can't stand that stuff. And then I'll stop and get him some cigars and some candy and a book of cheap Wahoo comics.
Poor Billy. I certainly hope it's nothing serious.
I probably got a little touch of band leader's bumps.
What on earth are band leader's bumps?
That's what you get when you play Mr. 5x5 so much somebody socks you with a 2x4. See, what have I got to get? Candy, magazines, cigars?
You know, I don't think Mr. Mill smokes cigars. He smokes cigarettes.
No, it's time he learned to smoke cigars. Why, when I was only 17 years old, I smoked...
Come in.
Hello there, kids. Welcome home.
Well, well, Mr. Oldtimer, it's nice to see you again.
Now, what do you mean, welcome home? You're the one that's been away.
I certainly have. Had a wonderful trip, too. Spent 3 weeks in Chicago.
Ah, the old windy city.
How is the old town since we left, Oldtimer?
Not so windy, Johnny. Not so windy. Go down to a breeze.
Well, did you go on the train, Mr. Oldtimer?
Sure did, daughter. Wonderful trip. Got to talk to a sergeant just back from the front. Told me all about the war.
Hope he didn't spill any military secrets.
Nope. Too smart for that, Johnny. When he come to a secret, he just says some vegetable instead.
Oh, how do you mean?
Well, sir, daughter, he tells me his troop ship, the SS Rutabaga, left the harbor of Sweet Potato on the lima bean of green peas. Says it was escorted by 3 big golden bantams and a small fleet of turnips with 4-motored onions flying overhead.
Must have been a very nourishing experience.
Well, it's kind of thrilling, Johnny.
Yeah?
He says they arrived at North Succotash about the 14th of celery and went into action immediately.
Wow.
Says they killed 3,000 cabbages and captured 600 radishes. He says, don't repeat it to anybody, but he got inside information that the war will be over by the squash of April, 1900 and garlic.
Well, we won't breathe a word of it.
That's pretty good, daughter. Well, gotta be running along now.
What's your hurry, Mr. Oldtimer?
Wanna get me a paper and see if there's any answer to my ad, daughter.
Your ad? What ad?
Put a ad in the paper, Johnny.
Yeah?
Wanted. Woman with pound of butter and a pig to meet man with can of syrup and a frying pan. Object, wheat cakes and sausage. Well, come on.
Here's the hospital, Molly. You got the fruitcake and the candy?
Yes, have you got the magazines and the cigars and the malted milk and the donuts?
Yep. I got him a taffy apple, too, but it looks so good I ate it myself. I got some bubble gum for him instead. With bubble gum, you can...
Wait a minute, McGee. Here comes Mrs. Uppington.
Old Nightmare Nellie, the girl of my dreams. Wonder what she's been doing at the hospital.
Maybe getting an estimate on having her face lifted, dearie.
What, again? That mug has been hoisted so many times now, it's all she can do to keep her feet on the ground.
Now, McGee, I don't... Hello there, Abigail, darling. So nice to see you.
How do you do, Mr. McGee? And Miss McGee?
Hi, Effie. Congratulations. You got the right spirit.
Right spirit about what, McGee?
Can't you see? She's pooling her shoulders to take all those little minks for a ride.
Oh, very, very amusing, Miss McGee. May I ask your wife a question?
Why, certainly, Abigail. What is it?
Well, tell me, Mrs. McGee, what is the annual yield of corn from one little wiseacre like Mr. McGee?
Well, Abigail, If it was all piled up in one corner of the field, it would be quite a shock. But what are you doing down here at the hospital?
Oh, I came down here to visit my housekeeper, Mrs. Underwood.
What's the matter with her, Uppy?
She sprained a ligament in her arm, the poor soul.
Oh, how?
Oh, we had unexpected guests for dinner last evening, and she tried to stretch her filet mignon. Well, I simply must go buy my war bond. Thanks to Mr. McGee.
And why thanks to me?
Because every time I see you, Mr. McGee, I think of inflation. And when I think of inflation, I think how important it is that this country maintain financial control during and after this war, which means everyone must buy all the war bonds he possibly can. So please stay out of my sight for the rest of the week. I'm over my budget now. Goodbye, Mrs. McGee.
Goodbye, Abigail. Well, come on, inflation. McGee.
I'm glad you didn't tell Uppy about Billy Mills. She could never cheer anybody up. She's a walking lull if I ever saw one. Well, come on.
So you better ask the nurse at the desk where Mr. Mills is, McGee.
Yeah, look at her giving us the once-over. Why do all hospitals have some eagle eye at the desk that looks at you like you'd come in to blow the joint up?
Hey, sis, could you tell us...
Please, be more quiet.
All right. But we wanted to know where we could find Mr. Mills. He's a patient here.
Mills?
That's right.
Well, just a minute. I'll find out.
Hey, Considine, what room is Mills in?
Who?
Mills.
Room 502.
Oh, much obliged, Considine.
What say, Murphy?
I said thanks.
Oh, don't mention it.
So Mr. Mills is in room...
Not so loud, please. excuse me. Westfall Vista Hospital. Miss Murphy speaking.
Who?
No, madam, I'm sorry, but Dr. Case is out on a bender. Dr. Bender is out on a case. Yes, I'll be glad to tell him.
Please. Come on now. Room 502. Don't drop that fruitcake. Hey, there ain't any elevator man here. Hmm?
Not so loud, McGee. And this is one of those elevators you run yourself.
Oh.
Get in and press the button with the 5 on it.
Five. Okay. You ready?
Ready.
Here we go.
Everything's ready. Noisy, isn't it?
Huh?
Noisy, I say.
What's
that? I say it's awful noisy, isn't it?
Better tell me later, Molly. The elevator makes so much noise, you can't hear it.
I'm glad that's over.
Me too. Hey, sis, can you tell us where we can...
What was it, please?
We're visiting one of the patients, room 502.
Oh, I'm sorry. The patient has just gone to the delivery room.
Delivery room? Is he expecting a package?
McGee. The delivery room... Oh, my goodness, there must be some mistake, dearie.
Oh, no, there isn't, madam. And I may tell you, the whole staff is interested in this case. It's going to be twins, at least.
Hey, what twins? You mean Billy Mills?
Quiet, please. And who did you say?
Mr. Mills. Billy Mills in 502, the man we came here to see.
Oh, they gave you the wrong card at the desk. We have a Mrs. Millie Bills in 502. You want room 306.
Oh, well, much obliged, sis.
Back in the elevator, McGee.
Okay. Don't crowd me now. This malted milk is dripping as it is. The candy all set.
Not so loud, please.
Oh, I thought you were gone.
Press button number 3, dearie.
Okay. Remind me to write to General Eisenhower about that elevator. Imagine a tank that goes straight up and down.
McGee.
Huh?
I'd have sworn I saw Mr. Wilcox go in that third door there.
Ah, you're imagining things. What would he be doing down here on a Tuesday night? Which door was it? This one?
Yes. It says nurse's training. You suppose he's got a date with a nurse.
Let's peek and see.
Oh, no. That wouldn't be right, McGee.
I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, don't be selfish. Let me see, too.
Oh, when you girls go out on a case, always be sure that strict sanitation prevails wherever food is prepared. Be sure the linoleum floors are sparkling and immaculate. This can best be done with Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, which is very easily applied and shines as it dries with no rubbing or buffing. Glow coat seals surfaces against dust and dirt and dampness, which is very important from a health standpoint. Miss Demulli, please put that gum in the wastebasket. You'll find, girls, that most housekeepers today use Johnson's Glow Coat, but in those rare cases where...
Old Professor Wilcox, M.D.
M.D.?
Mighty determined to sell his wax one way or another. Well, come on, Molly, before this malted milk goes flat. We won't...
Oh, wait a minute, McGee. Here comes the doctor.
Where?
Oh, the guy in the white coat. Hi, Doc.
Good afternoon. You are visitors?
Yes, yes, to see Mr. Mills. How's he getting along?
Splendidly, splendidly. What was the name again?
Mills. Billy Mills.
Oh, yes. Oh, he's doing very nicely. Isn't he the tall, thin, dark chap?
No. No, Mr. Mills is short and heavy set, and he's blonde, isn't he, McGee?
I don't remember, and I doubt if Billy does. Anyway, he's the guy in 306, Doc.
Ah, yes, 306. Uh-huh. Getting along nicely.
Oh, fine.
Though we don't like to make specific statements in most cases. Everything is relative, you know. Yes, indeed. Things are never what they seem. For instance, there is nothing so permanent as a temporary filling, or as temporary as a permanent wave. Well, if you will excuse me, you will be quiet, won't you?
Yes, we will, Doctor.
Thank you. Goodbye, Mr. Mills.
Come on, McGee. I'm tired of carrying these packages.
306
Well, hello, Mom. Hello, Skim.
Hello, Mr. Mills.
Hi, Billy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. We come down to cheer you up, kid. Yes, sir. Well, how do you feel? Kind of rocky, eh? Hey, here's a chocolate malted for you and some donuts. Give him a hunk of fruitcake, Molly. Hey, Billy, did you ever hear the one about the guy that... Oh, I almost forgot. Here, have a cigar.
McGill.
You ever hear the one... Toss him one of those magazines, Molly.
Yeah.
It's a very funny story, Billy, about the fella... Hey, you like bubble gum? It's all kinds of fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, it seems there was these two fellas, see? Pat and Mike, we'll call them.
McGee.
Huh?
Stop slapping Mr. Mills on the knee.
Oh, that's okay. I won't catch anything. I got my gloves on. Hey, here's a box of candy for you, Billy, old man. Chocolate-covered cherries.
For goodness sakes, McGee, be quiet a minute.
Huh?
This is no way to treat a sick man. Are you very sick, Mr. Mills?
Not sick at all, Mom. Feel swell.
You're not sick? Then what you here for?
Spend a couple of days here every 2 years. Get checked up. Gives me a nice rest, too.
Mm. 2 days in the hospital when you're not even sick? Don't you get lonesome?
Nope. Anyway, I had a roommate up till this morning.
Oh, too bad he couldn't have stayed.
I know. He'd have been gone even sooner, but he took a turn for the nurse. Have a donut yourself, Skip.
Thanks, I will. Donut, Molly?
No, thank you. So you're not sick at all, Mr. Mills, huh?
Never felt better, Mom.
Mind if I drink this malted milk, Billy?
Help yourself. Eat the candy, too.
Oh,
I never touch it.
Mr. Mills, now, I'll bet you're really sick and you won't tell us.
Honest, Mom.
Stick out your tongue.
There.
My gosh, look at it, Molly. It's all black.
Heavenly day.
Oh, it's nothing. My nurse is nearsighted.
Hmm?
She took my temperature this morning with her fountain pen.
Have some bubble gum, Billy?
No, thanks.
Mm.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah?
Press that button on the wall there, will you?
All right.
Thanks.
What does that do?
That's the signal for the nurse.
Oh, maybe we better leave
again. Yeah.
No, no, no. Stay here, Mom. I always press that button when I don't want to be disturbed for an hour or so.
Well, I'm sure glad you ain't sick, Will. Here, have a chocolate-covered cherry.
No thanks, Drip.
Huh?
I said no thanks. They drip.
Oh. I missed a word.
You know, I think he looks wonderful, don't you, McGee? Except that he's kind of drawn around the mouth. Been suffering much pain, Mr. Mills?
I'm not sick, Mom. I feel fine. Just here for a checkup.
People get that look sometimes before they get sick, Molly. You
they
know
do,
that.
Huh?
Anyway, that ain't what worried me. What gets me is that twitch in his left temple. You see? That's a sure sign of fallen arches.
Is that what makes his lips so blue looking too, dearie?
Absolutely. Though the whites of his eyes looking so yellow, that don't mean anything. That could be a simple case of either jaundice or low metabolism or whatever that's called. I knew a guy once that had metabolism.
McGee.
Huh?
Come on, dearie.
Huh? Where?
Mr. Mills is falling asleep. We better go.
What do you mean we gotta go? After all the trouble we took to come down here and cheer him up?
Oh, sir.
Hey, Billy, wake up. Where's your man?
McGee, for goodness sakes, don't
look. When I come to a hospital to cheer somebody up, they're gonna cheer up and like it, see? Hey, Billy, wake up. Grab his other shoulder, Molly. We'll shake him away. Hey, Billy. Really?
Uh-oh. What time is it?
Oh, McGee, this is terrible. We should...
Snap out of it, Billy. I got some great gags to tell you. Boy, they'll kill you. If he gets drowsy again, Molly, slap him in the puss with a wet towel. Hey, Hey, Billy, did you ever hear the one about the knight of the round table who was scared of horses? This is a honey. Well, sir, this knight wouldn't ride a horse, see? So he put a saddle on a big Great Dane dog. He'd ride all over the kingdom on this dog, see? And one night...
The King's Men singing Lullaby of the Herd.
Out in the rain, just as the knight was climbing back onto the Great Dane, see? And he says, okay, he says, I've changed my mind, he says. I'll give you a room. I wouldn't turn a knight away on a dog like this.
Oh, dearie.
Hey, you better finish up this fruitcake, Billy. There's only a little piece of it left.
No, thanks.
Heavenly days, have you eaten all that fruitcake, dearie?
No, not all of it. I dropped a little hunk of it in Billy's bed, I guess.
Part with some walnuts and raisins in it, too.
You're lucky I didn't drop a chocolate-covered cherry. Hey, where are they?
You ate those, too, McGee.
I did? Well, Billy shouldn't be eating such rich stuff like that, anyway. Just laying there in bed, no exercise. Hey, Billy, did I ever tell you the one about the guy that was...
What is this, Halloween? Come in.
Well, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, folks. Hello, Mr. Mills.
Hello.
I'm glad to see you back, Wimp, old man. Have a nice trip?
Oh, just gorgeous, Mr. McGee. It's a beautiful trip from here to Philadelphia.
Yeah?
I never saw such scenery.
Oh, what was it like, Mr. Wimple?
I never saw it. They had the shades down for the blackout.
Miss Sweetie Face, Wallace?
Oh, not very much, Mr. Mills. I had a picture with me all the time. Oh. The one she sent me when we were corresponding through the matrimonial agency.
Oh, so that's how you met Sweetie Face. Through a bride and bachelor bingo club, eh?
Yes. I sent her my picture, and she sent me her picture.
Oh, was it love at first sight?
It was for her, Mrs. McGee. It took me longer. You see, Sweetie Face sent me her picture on a jigsaw puzzle so the shock wouldn't be too sudden. There's still a piece missing out of her nose, but off her it looks good.
Glad to see you back, Wallace.
Oh, indeed she was. She grabbed me and almost smothered me.
With kisses?
No, just smothered me. She was mad because I lost one of my shirts in the laundry.
Well, it was nice of you to come down and see Billy on your first day home, Wimp. How'd Sweetie Face ever let you out?
Oh, she didn't want me to go, but I insisted.
Yeah?
So she finally said, all right, go down to the darn old hospital if you must, but let's make it worthwhile. So she broke my arm, see?
Heavenly, you better go get it looked after.
Oh, it's all right, Mrs. McGee. This is the one she always breaks. Last time I had them put a hinge on the bone. Well, goodbye now.
Well, now that we've cheered Billy up, Molly, I guess we better go too, huh? As soon as I finish this last donut.
Well, don't hurry away.
Oh, I think we better.
Did you ring, Mr. Mills?
Yes, but you didn't have to drop everything and run in here, baby. When can I leave?
Right now, if you like. Your reports are all in and everything's fine. Your visitors can either step outside or you can dress behind this screen.
Well, we'll just step outside for a few minutes.
Oh.
Hey, look at Skip. Oh. He's turning purple.
McGee, what's the matter, dearie?
I don't feel good.
Oh, Mr. Mills, get out of that bed. Here, madam. Yes. Help me get this man up there.
All right.
Oh, take off his shoes.
Yes.
Oh, never mind my shoes. My feet don't hurt. It's my stomach.
Oh, it looks like a cute indigestion. Oh. What's he been eating?
Box of candy, fruitcake, malted milk, 6 donuts, and some bubble gum.
Oh.
McGee, darling, lie down, dear. Let Mother loosen your collar. Get a doctor, nurse.
Yes, right away, Mom.
I told him not to put an egg in that malted.
Now, you just be calm, dearie. The doctor will be here in a minute.
Oh.
What's the matter, Mr. Mills?
Hand me the phone, Mom.
Oh.
Thanks. Hello? Operator? Give me the Whistler Vista Chamber of Commerce. Yeah? Is that you, Mert? Never mind that, Mert. Give me the Chamber of Commerce. Hello? Is this you, Mr. Powers? Billy Mills speaking. From the hospital. Mr. McGee is sick down here, and I want you to send somebody down to cheer him up.
Oh, how nice. How nice, Billy.
Yes, Boris Karloff, if you can get him.
Sabotage has become very familiar to all of us this past year. If I use the expression dirt sabotage, I wonder how many of you ladies would know just what I mean. Well, then I'll explain. During the winter months, dirt is really a problem. It comes into the house at the front and back doors, on shoes, rubbers, and on the feathery feet of that favorite cocker spaniel of yours. I know. And there's another dirt spot in winter, around the radiators and especially on windowsills. Now, if that dirt isn't removed, it soon gets all through the house. Not only does damage to the finish of floors and furniture and to rugs and fabrics, but it can be a health menace, too, because dirt favors germs. And so dirt that isn't controlled does cause sabotage. Now, what could you do about it? Well, you all know by now that regular applications of Johnson's Wax, face liquid or cream, at those dirt spots, on the floors, in front of doorways, and on windowsills, make it much easier to keep them clean, to keep the whole house gleaming and more sanitary.
Well, how do you feel now, McGee?
Much better, thanks. But I guess I shouldn't have eaten all that stuff.
I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah.
Making a pig of yourself.
Yeah.
A great big pig.
Yeah.
And on a meatless day.
Huh? Oh, good night.
Good night, Al.
The characters of Wallace Wimple and the old-timer heard on this program were played by Bill Thompson. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night. This program has reached you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.